Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Hey. Before we begin, I think it would probably be worthwhile for us to get a look and understand a little bit more what the interplay is between the various psukim in the Isurim and the Mitzvahs and so on that appear here in the sugya of Chometz, Matzah, and Bayera, Bayimotze, Achila, and so on and so forth. Because it's the interplay that is going to be the source of the actual dinim, not any particular pasuk in and of itself, but the way that these psukim interrelate with each other. So remember, when we're first introduced to Pesach, back in Bo, we're told, Shivat yamim matzot tochelu, ach bayom harishon tashbitu seor mibotechem, Kikol ochel chametz v'nichra ta'hanefesh ha'im Yisrael miyom harishon ad yom hashivii. So now, very confusing pasuk, because on the one hand it says you're supposed to be eating for 7 days matzot, which l'chor has got to include the night of that first day, because I mean we know elsewhere, as we'll see, it says be'erev tochlu matzot. So that's going to be one of our interplays. You can't say yamim eat matzot, but not night eat matzot, obviously. Because we start with the mitzvah of matzot. Furthermore, after saying that, so it's told me that I have to make sure that all 7 days I'm going to be eating matzot. And it says then that b'yom harishon tashbitu se'or mibatechem, because kol ochel chametz v'nichrata. Now that could mean that on the first day, meaning on the first day of Yontif, which is the 15th day of Nisan, so I'm supposed to, at the beginning of that day maybe, I should get rid of my chametz and make sure that I don't eat any. And it isn't in my rishus because of the fact that I'm not supposed to eat. Ki kol ochel chametz. Okay, but then the problem is that the pasuk goes, the parsha goes on to say some other things. Namely, shivat yamim so'or lo yimatze b'votechem. So now let's figure out what this is. You cannot have se'or in your homes. Now, se'or is not chametz. I mean, se'or is something that is machmitz other things, right? Okay. For some reason, the pasuk is focusing on se'or. Maybe se'or is special. Since it's so powerful, it can't even be found in your home. And then it explains, why won't you be able to find it in your home? Because kikol ochel machmetzet v'nichrata nefesh ha'im adat yisroel begeru bezrach ha'aretz. That's followed by the next pasuk that says, "Kol machmetzet lo tochelu b'chol mishvotechem tochlu matzot." Which, I mean, what is that adding exactly? We've already been told, "Kol machmetzet ki kol ochel machmetzet v'nichrata." So perhaps this is the lo taseh, right? But why are we saying b'chol mishvotechem tochlu matzot again? Now, the main point of this pasuk is clearly to indicate an equal sign between the kol machmetzet lo tochelu to the kol moshvotechem tochlu matzot. In other words, whenever you have that mitzvah to be eating matzot, whenever that begins, that's when the iser of chametz begins. And that makes it very, very clear that we could not possibly, somebody is not muted here, and we're getting a lot of noise. So I don't know. I think it's the BBs, believe it or not. No, it's not the BBs. Okay. Maybe it's the pounding heart of Shmueli who's finally back in the daf. That must be it. Okay. All right. So, you know, it's better to hook him up to a monitor with a little oscilloscope. I mean, this is disturbing.
He just finished my trick.
Wow. Congrats. That's wonderful. Okay. Good. And it works out perfectly for Pesachim, right? Okay. Great. All right, so what we see over here is what is called a hekesh. That's the equal sign. And that's going to turn out to be very important. So then we know that we've got, that means a mitzvah of somehow or other doing something on the first day. We haven't defined what that first day is and when that first day would actually take place. Now, all of this is talking about not finding stuff in your rishus. The problem is that the Torah also uses a completely different lashon, which has to do with not seeing chametz, not finding chametz, and it's not clear whether that's lo yera elecha chametz. That other iser, lo yera elecha chametz V'lo yeira'elecha se'or b'chol gvulecha. Is that the same thing? Not seeing something, is that the same thing as not finding something? Or is there a difference? Besides which, note the other difference. The other difference is that it says b'chol gvulecha, whereas before it was talking about your homes. Shiv'at yamim se'or lo yimatze bevotechem. Right? That was the pasuk we had before. That's in your home. If it says b'chol gvulecha, it seems to be saying anywhere at all, out in the field, wherever, you can't have it. Not in your home. So we've got a lot of differences over here. One is talking about in your house, and one is talking about in your gvul. One is talking about looking at, and one is talking about finding, which would mean it could be hidden and you're not able to see it. One is talking about licha, and the other one is not talking about licha. So, lo yimatzei bevatechem, there's a big difference. If it's licha, then it's only things that actually belong to you and not things that would belong to someone else, or not things that are shalhagdish, let's say. That's not yours. So perhaps you could keep those things. But then in the other pasuk, it doesn't say licha. It just says, lo yimatzei bevatechem. So we've got a lot of tremendous differences between the psukim and a lot of interrelationships between the psukim that sort of leave us hanging and we're not exactly sure what the chiyuvim are. So we've got this tashbitu, the sa'or mibatechem, which again, the tashbitu, that's a chiyuv asei. Then we've got these lo ta'asei of achila, and then we've got the lo ta'asei of lo yimatzei, and then we've got the lo ta'asei of lo yera'eh. How do all of these interrelate? And that brings us to the beginning today on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, where we were still in the middle of about to begin the sugya. And that was at the two dots on the bottom. So Tzananata, Rabbi Meir Omer. So now the last thing that we had learned yesterday was that we were talking about how it is that we've extended these various times from Midrabbanan, which is very strange because usually things are well-defined. A day is either X or Y, and over here we've got this weird situation where a day is not X or Y. A day is split in the middle, midiraisa, and then midrabanan, it's split like one-third of the way up or one-quarter of the way up or an extra hour. I mean, like, who ever heard of such dinim? And we came to understand that there is a halacha about bedikas chometz, which in a sense restores the uniqueness, the quality of a day as a unit, beginning at the night, which is the common sense of a day in the Torah. And then there's this special halacha, which is Gzeiras HaKosev, that the Torah says, let us split the day. We're going to split it into two completely different ways of looking at things. Sometimes you're going to be in the chometz space, and sometimes you're going to be in the matzah space. Now, there's one additional pasuk that we did not talk about. And that's the pasuk. The reason we didn't talk about it was because it appears in the dinim of the korban. But it does say in the dinim of the korban, lo tishchat al hametz dam zivchi, which seems to be saying you cannot do shchita of a korban pesach. But the shchita of the korban pesach is done on, not on the first day of Yontif, it's done on Erev Yontif, on the 14th. That is the day of Pesach in the sense of the Korban. And then the Achila is that night on the 15th, right? Here it says, but there can't be chametz in your Rishus at the time that you're doing the Shchitas HaPesach, which seems to imply, again, that you've got to get rid of your chametz before the beginning of the day and not during the process of the day. So in order to understand all of this, now the Gemara says, okay, let's take a look at the way that the day has been split into different parts. First of all, we have a machlokas about halakha l'maisa, that is to say the d'oraisa, the d'rabbanan, as opposed to d'oraisa. So when it comes to the d'rabbanan, we've got this big machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, which we're going to get into, obviously, later, but let's just quote it now. So we're going to get later on in the Mishnah to the question of what hour of the day does the iser of achilas chametz kick in mid-rabbanan. So Rabbi Meir says, look, you can eat the entire fifth hour of the day. After that, it becomes osur b'hana'an. The only thing that you can do is burn, baby, burn. And that would mean you're sorfin mitchilat sheish, and then at the end of sheish, at that point, it becomes osur. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. You could eat the entire fourth hour. Then the fifth hour, where Rabbi Meir is matir eating, you can't eat. But you can have hana, and because you can have hana, you do not burn, because, I mean, especially why would we burn Truma and Kutchum during that time? What we want to do instead is we're tailing, and if something comes along which takes care of it, okay. But if then we're stuck at the beginning of the sixth hour and we see we're going to have to burn the Truma, so then it becomes Osranot at that point. So we begin the Sreifa at Chilat Sheish, like Rabbi Meir says. But there's an additional 1 hour of limbo in which no Achila, but I can still be Nene, which means I've got time to sell it and so on and give it to a Goy during that period. Now, it seems clear then that both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yudah agree that the beginning of the Isser D'Oraisa is from the sixth hour, at the end of the sixth hour, in other words, at noon. So, Sheish Sha'ot V'Lamala Asur. Now, where do we get that from? Because it doesn't say it anywhere in the Torah. So, Minolan, that's what starts us off on an issue that we've been taking for granted until now in terms of how we relate it to Bedikas Chametz. And now we want to check into our sources. Why did we take it for granted? And how did that become the basis of our being Metaken, this idea of Bedikas Chametz before? Okay, says Abaya, look, we've got a real stira over here between Psukim. On the one hand, as we spoke about earlier, it says Beferish in the Torah that you are supposed to be Shivat Yamim, Seor lo yimatzei bevatechem, kikol ochel machmetzet, and so on. And this is the 7 full days, right? And yet we've got that other pasuk that said, Shivat yamim matzot ochelu ach bayom harishon tashbitu seor mibatechem. Now, if the full 7 days, I'm not allowed to have chametz in my rishos, explain to me how it's possible that I just begin dealing with this at the beginning of the first day. I mean, so there I am, beginning of the first day, I still have a house full of chametz, and now I should start making sure that I get rid of my chametz. But the pasuk said, 7 full days there cannot be chametz in your home. So make up your mind. If 7 full days I can't have chametz in my home, then how the heck would I be allowed to start getting rid of my chametz at the beginning of the seventh day? It just doesn't make sense. The only possibility, says Abaye, is that that pasuk is coming to tell me you've got to get rid of the chametz on the 14th and not on the 15th, because otherwise it's too late by the time you get to your first day with chametz in your room. You're already going to be over. So haketzad, l'rabot arba'a asar lebi'ur. That's what it means. Well, maybe not. Maybe we made a mistake. Maybe when it says days, it meant only the daytime, you see. You were just saying yomim sort of in a loose way, right? Shivas yomim. Maybe it doesn't mean that. Maybe it means not to have the lo yimatzei. Shivat yomim means during the 7 days, but the night before, it's not daytime yet. And since it's not daytime yet, it didn't kick in yet. So then that would mean that you now have the night to be able to get rid of your chametz. So therefore comes along the pasuk now to tell me that B'yom HaRishon, you better get rid of it at night too. Maybe that's the point. So HaKetzat, L'rabot Arba'asa L'biur? No. Ve'ema L'rabot Lele Chamishasa L'biur. Because if I would have just had my druthers reading the pasuk, I might have thought that the Shivat Yamim begins in the daytime. Because it does say Yamim, and Yamim usually means daylight, Yamim in, Leilot, lo. Kamashmalan afilu Leilot. Therefore, the Chiddush is over here that the nighttime is also included. Now, you may have noticed that there's an awful lot of stress over here on night and day, right? And that is part of the Pesach experience as well, if you recall. As a matter of fact, I think there's even a song on the night of Pesach, Balayla, right? You've got this whole thing. And the idea of splitting the night into two, Chatzot Laila, and the question of the different times. What happens in the day of the Yetziyah? What happened the night before? The relationship. So this business of beginning with or as a function of language and then getting into the meaning of the psukim that interrelate to you, what it is you're going to be doing the night before. And this, of course, is the first thing we talk about in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. You know, how do we know we're supposed to be reading this tonight? All of this is permeating our discussions, and it goes far beyond just what does light mean. So now we're talking about perhaps the issue kicks in the daytime And therefore, we need the pasuk Mashmalan Afilo Legot. So when it says B'yom Arishon Tashbitus Armi Batechem, it's coming to add, okay, no, you got to start in the nighttime. So as far as the contradiction is concerned, we answer the contradiction by saying, look, there's nothing innate in this pasuk that is contradictory. The pasuk tells you, first of all, that you've got to have 7 daytimes, okay? Once the day starts, there's got to be no chametz. Okay, so then perhaps I could just relax until a minute before and so on? No. The pasuk adds, B'yom HaRishon Tashbitu, to tell me, look, you've got to deal with that chametz instantly. It means the night too, but it's not contradictory to the simple meaning of the pasuk. That's the point. And therefore, it's only coming to tell me that afilu leilot. No, says Abaye, that is not the case at all. And my initial understanding that there is a contradiction, the only way to resolve the contradiction is by saying that the hashbatat chametz has got to begin the day before is correct. And I'll tell you why. Because this pasuk could not possibly be coming for what you think. You're suggesting it would be coming to add the night before in terms of the Isser Chometz because I would have thought that the word Yom means Dafke Yom. Nonsense. Because you are not taking into consideration the very complex interplay between the Psukim, for heaven's sakes. Because take a look. Starting with the relationship of the Hashbatat Se'or L'Achilat Matzah. Right? What does it say? Se'or Lo Yimatzei Bevatechem. Kikol ochel chametz. Now, I don't know, but this pasuk is certainly saying that there's an equivalency to your concern for getting the sa'or out of your house because you can't eat chametz. Okay, I don't know exactly what that means, but let's take it one step further. Once that equivalency is established, now take a look at the next equivalency, which we pointed out with that equal sign, because we also know that achilat chametz is now the equivalent of achilat matzah. Because after all, kol machmeset lo tochelu b'chol moshvotechem tochlu matzot. That's just not an alternative, obviously. It's not the Torah saying, well, if you don't have any bread, you can always eat matzah. No, that isn't the point. It's coming to tell me that there's an actual equivalent din. Whenever you are going to have to eat matzot, that is the time in which you need to take into consideration the kol machmetzet lo tochelu. So then that means eating matzah, working our way backwards, eating matzah, which we know is at night because it says be'erev tochlu matzot. So given that be'erev tochlu matzot, given that eating matzah is the equivalent of the chiyuv of eating chametz, given that eating chametz is the equivalent of the time in which you need to be careful about lo yimatzei bevatechem, I'm right, says Abaye. So you see, I already know about the chametz at night, okay? I know about the ba'ira at night, all right? So what does it mean then when it gives us a contradiction? It says, can't start at the beginning of the night, and then it says, start getting rid of it, b'yom HaRishon. Obviously, it's because the Yom HaRishon referred to over here is a reference to the 14th and not to the 15th. I think that proves it. Let's just see those comparisons in the psukim directly. Okay, so here's what I was referring to, says Abaye. The Hashbatat Se'or equals timing for Achilas Chometz, Shivat Yamim Se'or Lo Yimatzei Bevatechem, Ki Kol Ocha Machmetzet V'Nichrata. This is my second point. Achilat Chametz is compared to Achilat Matzah. Okay, here's the pasuk. Kol Machmetzet Lo Tochelu B'Chol Moshvotechem Tochlu Matzot. My next point is, I know that the time of eating matzah is a given, because it says in the pasuk, be'erev tochlu matzot. Haha. And that be'erev is referring to borishon be'arba asayom lachodesh be'erev tochlu matzot. So there's no way out of our knowing that the iser of hashbatah, that idea has got to be at the beginning of the night. So therefore the rishon is going to be adding, no, it's got to be before. That's the point. All right. In that case, we now have a clear-cut indication of the halacha. Now, why don't we say, excuse me, but v'ema l'rabot leil yudalid. Okay, I understand I don't need it for the first night, but maybe it's coming to tell me that maybe the first day is the 14th, but maybe it means like every other reference to a day in the Torah. Doesn't a day in the Torah always mean that it's at the beginning of the day. The beginning of the day is the night before. So why are you saying the middle of the day? How in the world did a din in the Torah that specifies a day become a reference to the middle of a day? I'm totally confused. So then what Abaye seems to be saying is that you're mechuyev to get rid of your chametz at the beginning of the 14th day. So the Eimel Rabot Leil Arba Asa LeBiur. So then, fine. Not the middle of the 14th day. Well, I mean, but it says Bayom. Ach Bayom Arishon. So it couldn't mean the night before. Fine. Even if you want to say that, how could you possibly say it begins in the middle of the day? It still would have to begin in the beginning of the day, no? I mean, where do you come up with the idea? You ask the question, Minolan, how do we know that it's Chatzot? And you come up with a solution that, if anything, tells us, no, it doesn't mean Chatzot. I understand you prove that it means the 14th, but it ought to mean the beginning of the 5th, the 14th. Ah, that's because you are missing one very important point, which I thought you understood. And that is that it doesn't talk about the Yom HaRishon. It talks about the Ach by Yom HaRishon. What does Ach by Yom HaRishon mean? Why does it say, B'Yom HaRishon Tashbitu Zohar Mibateichem? So if you're telling me Ach, you're saying, but, okay, I thought there were no and, if, and buts about it. Now you're telling me there is a but about it. Okay, so what does the but about it mean? So the but about it means that it's not exactly what you think. Basically, you're going to have to split it into two, because if you're not telling me what the but is, okay, so now I understand. Something is not the way it looks. So what does that mean? Some part. I mean, I know it. I don't need you to tell me but to exclude the night, because you already said the day. If you're not giving me a specific but, then I have no choice but to say, all right, let's split what we know into two. So half of the day will be usher, half of the day will not be usher. Rashi suggests, he says he heard a different pshat, which is cute, and that is that there's a remez in the word ach, utilizing one of the gematrias of the Sefer Yetzira. Okay, so using those gematrias, the olive ach actually becomes a chet, and the chof becomes a tzadik, because we split the olive base into three parts. In which case, the word ach suddenly calls chetz, which means split into two. Okay, so that's another remez to a bias point. But the idea is that, I know the Rebbe looks very, very comfortable. Maybe we should start singing our Un Az der Rebbe Shlof. Not yet. How comfortable can you be in a tent in the Midbar with the rain falling all around you? Only a Rebbe can concentrate fully and still remain awake to the sound of the puttering rain. Very nice. You should turn on your mic for all of us. Okay, so the idea of a year, therefore, is a very complex limit. According to Abaye, we need a lot of information in order to come up with a very simple statement. The middle of the 14th day is the point at which the chametz becomes osur. Wow. Devei Rabbi Yishmael, Tana, Devei Rabbi Yishmael says, look, this word, Rishon, means Rishon, because Matzino Arba'a Asar Shenikra Rishon, Shenema Barishon, Bi Arba'a Asar Yom Lachodesh, doesn't the Torah curiously say Barishon? Now, obviously, the simple meaning of that word Barishon is on the first month, meaning Nisan. So when it says Barishon Barba Asar Yom Lachodesh, any person reading that would say, gee, it's a little weird, because whenever the Torah talks about the month, it says the month. Bachodesh Harishon, Bachodesh Hasheni. But what else could it mean? Barishon, on the first month, on the 14th day of the month. Isn't that what the pasuk is saying? So my point is, Rabbi Shmuel, is that it's that unusual phraseology over here that is merames, you know, the day that is going to be shrouded in mystery. Ach, b'yom ha-rishon, that rishon is the 14th of the month. Ha! So basically, it's merames to everything that Abaye said. The word rishon is identified elsewhere as a very special Rishon, is the 14th of the month. Whew. Okay, beautiful. Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, you don't need all of this complexity, my friends, because the word Rishon means the day before. It does not mean the first. You're kidding. And take a look at the Pasuk. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking about Eov, it says, you know, you are so smart, Mr. Eov. I'm assuming that you were born before Adam Arishon. You know, I wasn't born yesterday. You were born yesterday. So you're saying, Harishon Adamti Valed? What does that mean grammatically? It can only mean, what, you were born before Adam was? So you know so much, right? So therefore, we see that when it says Ach Bayom HaRishon, it means the day before, right? So in other words, Shivas Yomim, that is a reference to 7 days of Pesach, but Bayom HaRishon, the day before, you're supposed to Tashbis Zohar Mibatechem. Great. What? Oh, come on. Just because you found one place where Rishon could mean? I mean, and when the Torah says, when it comes to Sukkot, Ulekachtem Lachem Bayom HaRishon, I suppose that means that on Erev Sukkot, you're supposed to take a lulav and esrog, right? I mean, I understand. You can't do that and just arbitrarily decide that this particular Rishon is referring to the day before, because Rishon, when it comes to Yontif, would mean that by Sukkot too, no? No, it's different. Because in the same Pasuk over there, it says, Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokechem Shivat Yamim, right? That's mamish the same Pasuk. So if the Shivat Yamim that are referred to over there, the seven are the 7 days of the Yontev, so then the Rishon would also be this first day of the Yontev. I mean, obviously, context is everything, isn't it? Yeah, okay, you're right. Context is everything. Would you mind examining the context in this Pasuk? It says in the same, it's also, Ach Bayom HaRishon, Tashbitu Sa'ar Mibatechem. In the same pasuk, it says, Shivat Yamim Matzot Tochelo. Boy, are you shooting yourself in the foot, man. It's exactly the same context in the pasuk of Pesach as it is in the pasuk of Sukkot. So how did it mean when it comes to Pesach the day before, but when it comes to Sukkot, it means the same day? Come on. No, well, I mean, if that's what it meant, then why did it say, B'yom HaRishon? It should say, B'yom Rishon. I mean, why are we talking about HaRishon? That's why I'm saying this is a different Rishon. This is the Rishon, meaning the day before. I love it. Another bullet. What does it say by Sukkot? The same thing. Ach B'yom HaRishon. And here it also says that B'yom HaRishon, you're to take the lulav. So then why did it say Rishon? It should have just said Rishon. And also, I mean, once I'm bothered by this, over there it says also Biyom HaRishon Shabbaton uBiyom HaShmini Shabbaton, right? So then also you should say the same thing. It means the Isser Malacha begins on Erev Sukkot. Are you ready to say that? Of course not. Yeah, but there it's different. That's because in the same pasuk it compares the Yom Rishon Shabbaton to the Yom HaShmini Shabbaton. So it says B'Yom HaShmini. I mean, Yom HaShmini means the 7 days since I started counting Sukkot, right? So then the Rishon means the first day of my counting Sukkot. So so now you're still bothered by the fact that it says HaRishon? That I can explain to you. It says HaRishon to tell me that it's Dafka HaRishon as opposed to Chol HaMoed. What do you mean as opposed to Chol HaMoed? If a pasuk says on the first day and on the eighth day, don't do any work, isn't it pretty clear that on the days in between you can do work? Why in the world would I need to say, but the first day, which is that special day where you can't do work as opposed to days 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, right? I mean, I don't need the pasuk to tell me that. Chol HaMoed, I know that from the fact that you specified Rishon and Shmini. I'm not stupid. Not true. Because the pasuk says, U'bayom HaShmini. Now, what do we mean, U'bayom HaShmini? That vav seems to be connecting back to the days before. And if you tell me, and on the eighth day, you do not do any work, it means, yes, just like on the seventh day, you didn't do any work. Just like on the sixth day, you didn't do any work. So then I would conclude that there's no such thing as Chol HaMoed. So, Saka Daitach, since you write U'vayom HaShmini, that the Vav is Mosif Alinyan Rishon, and comes to tell me that Malach is Osir, even Chol HaMoed, Kamash Malan. Do you realize what you have just done? You've said that the Torah is out to really confuse us and add tons of extra information, none of which is needed. So first it sticks in an U'vayom HaShmini just to mess us up. So the must be there's no Chol HaMoed. But then it has to put it at a hey back in HaRishon to tell me, no, I don't mean that. So actually, there is a chol hamoed. I mean, couldn't you just leave out the ooh and leave out the hey? So then, lo lichtav rachmana lo vav velo hey. I mean, I think that's a little bit more efficient, no? And not to mention the fact that when it comes to the Isser of Malacha on Pesach, there it says, Bayom HaRishon, Mikra Kodesh Yelachem. Are you going to tell me that? And it says, hey, are you going to tell me that you're not allowed to do Malacha on Erev Pesach? So then, Rishon de Mikara Mashma. So it means we start the Isser of Malacha, Diraisa, on Erev Pesach? There's something wrong with this, man. Rishon can't possibly mean what you claim, that it means the day before. Says the Gemara, wait a minute, hold on a second, hold on. All of these questions are totally moot in America, not British, but they're totally moot. So the idea over here is that Hani Shalosha Rishon, the Rishons that have to do with the dinim of the Moed, now those are special Rishons. They are not coming for any of these kind of purposes. They are not dinim in the Moed. They are names, not dinim. Names? Yeah. Because we need to recognize that Rishon has a very important function in terms of our understanding the Torah overall. Remember that these Yomim Tovim are directly related to the development of Yisrael and the function of Yisrael in the world. When we call them Rishon, that goes back to something that is part of the historical process of Yisrael. There are Rishons, and those Rishons are linked to these Yomim Tovim. As a matter of fact, there are even Mefarshim that explain why each Rishon is linked to a particular thing in the Torah that has to do with the Yom Tov. We won't go into that now because it's insufficient information, but you take a look at the Marsho, traces it. So these Rishons are coming to tell me what the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel pointed out. The Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, Bischar Shlosha Rishon, Zachu L'Shlosha Rishon. We know that there are three very important first primal. This is Rishon in the sense of primal. So there are primal steps in the Torah. One of those primal steps is the ultimate Hachratat Zar'o Shel Esav. So getting rid in the end of this whole problem in which Akevo Shel Esav becomes Yerusha to Yaakov. That is called Rishon, as we'll see in the Torah. And the other Rishon is the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, which is called Rishon. This is a primal Rishon, goes all the way back to the vision in Maaseh Bereishis and Yaakov Avinu's first seeing a Beis HaMikdash, Bonui, Choruv, and so on. That Rishon in the Haaretz HaSatov Vavo, that Rishon is so primal, and it has to be linked to what it is that Yisrael does throughout history. And the third Rishon is Shmo Shel Mashiach. And that would mean that it goes all the way back to link it to the Ruach Elohim, Rachefet HaPnei Amayim, and that's part of Maaseh Bereishis as well, and we find that all of those are called Rishon. Where? L'achri Zaro Shel Esav Dichtiv, V'yetze HaRishon Admoni. That's what we've just been dealing with. Kulo Kaderet Se'ar, and we call that Rishon, which in terms of the Torah is a very dramatic statement. Lebinyan Beit HaMikdash, Dichtiv, Kisei Kavod Marom Merishon, Makom Mikdashenu, which relates the Etzem Kisei HaKavod to the ultimate placement of the Beit HaMikdash. And Lishmo Shel Mashiach, that's because it says, Rishon Litzion, Hinei Hinam. So that entire process, as the Navi points out, in which nobody really knows what is going on. L'Yerushalayim, Mivaser etain. All of it, again, is shrouded in mystery. And it's a Mivaser. What's his name? What's his name? No additional information. So all of that is included in that sense of Rishon Litzion. You will find it out as it happens. That's the point. The first one to come and to deal with the building of Yerushalayim and restoration of the Beis HaMikdash, now you know his name. That basically is the way the Rambam presents the entire idea of the Nevi'ahs, if you recall, in which the Rambam says all of this stuff about eschatology, and it's all nonsense. There is no way to know what any of this means until it actually happens. That's what the Gemara is pointing out over here, that the primal issues are only emergent. And because of that, there's got to be things that you are osek in from the beginning that touch upon those primal issues. What are those things? These are surprisingly the concepts of the beginning of Pesach, the beginning of Sukkot, and the relationship of that lulav and esrog to the initial focus of Adam HaRishon in terms of his tefillah for the geshamim and becoming part of the nature of a functioning planet, which is the essence in the end of Yisrael. So all of these Rishons are interrelated, which obviously now interrelates it back to HaRishon Adam Tivaleid also, because now it's a tremendously powerful thrust to Eov to hear that, in which you feel, oh my God, what do I think I know about what's going on? It's amazing. So again, that has nothing to do with the HaRishon that we're talking about over here. But when you're talking about the timing, if it really were coming not to name things, but to time things, I still believe that the timing of HaRishon means the day before. It means that. It doesn't need to be proven by the fact that you've got all these contradictions in the Psukim and you made such complex drushas. It's simply what the word means. That's how I understand it, which tells you straight off that HaRishon would have to mean the day before. Rava says, I can bring you another raya. Take a look. We've been forgetting about the kachim aspect. And remember that this mesechet is split between chulin and kachim. Why don't we recognize that there is a deep interrelationship between those two in this specific issue? What does ach biyom harishon tashbitu se'ar mibatechem? What does it mean in context of the dinim of the Korban Pesach? Well, let's take a look. It says, Lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi. Okay? Where did that come from? How in the world does a korban that you bring in the Beis HaMikdash have something to do with what? Chametz in your possession. What is chametz in your possession? We're talking about a korban on the 14th day of Nisan, which is not part of Pesach. Okay, so now you know that that's not true. Somehow or other, the 14th day of Nisan is part of Pesach. And the Pasuk takes for granted that you're going to be involved already in making sure that you have no chametz in your rishos. Because otherwise, to throw this in is crazy. So that's what it means. It's trying to give you a reference point in terms of the dinim of Shechita of Pesach. Okay, when do you start Shechita of Pesach? Bein Arba'in. That starts at midday. So there's your answer. The time of Shechita of Pesach is not the morning, the middle of the day. So all of your confusion about, so why the middle of the day? Why not the night before? Not what? Well, obviously, now we understand. There's the interrelationship of the Yom HaRishon is an interrelationship of the Kachim on Yom HaRishon. It's the meaning of Pesach b'Yom HaRishon, that is, on the 14th. Then we have the celebration of Pesach, two completely different things. That's the meaning. Wait a minute, how do you know that's the meaning? I mean, maybe it's not coming to give me a defined time. I mean, yes, you're clearly correct in saying, wow, that is quite an impressive interrelationship between the dinim of Pesach and the dinim of the Korban, but couldn't it simply mean that wherever you are as an individual, let's say it is now 5 o'clock in the afternoon on the 14th, and you are about to shecht your Korban Pesach, so the Pasuk is telling you, for you, 5:03 on the 14th, just make sure you don't have any chametz. I mean, how do you know that it means to interrelate a specific time, which is a universal time of chatzot? I mean, ema kol chad v'chad, ki shachet, whatever time you are doing your shkita, so that's when you have to get rid of your chametz. Because the Torah doesn't talk that way. When it's giving a din that impacts Klal Yisrael, then the impact is meant to be a definitive universal. So it's the Zman Shechita that we're talking about. And we can see this in the Braita, Tanya Namiochi. Ach bayom rishon tashbitu se'ar mibatecha. Here, look, take a look how the Braita actually is backing up Rava's interrelationship of the Hakravas HaKorban to this din. So it says, Ach bayom rishon, says the Braita, this means on Erev Yontif. Asks the Braita on itself, how do you know it means Erev Yontif? How do you know it doesn't mean Yom Tov Atzmo? Ah, how can it mean on Yom Tov Atzmo when the Pasuk says Lo Tishchat al Chametz Dam Zivchi, which means Lo Tishchat et HaPesach Va'adayin Chametz Kayam, Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. So it's a given, therefore, from the Dinim of the Kachim, that somewhere or other we must have been told that we have to get rid of the Chametz before the Pesach. Where's that? That's the Ach B'Yom HaRishon. put these two psukim together, there's no way to misunderstand. And so that means no matter how you look at it, whether it's from the complex interrelationship of the psukim themselves, whether it's the wording of the pasuk of Harishon, whether it's the interrelationship of the kachim to the chulin of Pesach, from every possible angle, there are different elements that are mechayev us to understand that there is a very unusual situation in which a chag that is normally defined by a set number of days beginning of the night before interrelates with events before that chag, which obviously once you start thinking about Pesach, that's the whole point, and that the korban, therefore, is really part of Pesach, whoever they're calling the entire yunt of Pesach, when Pesach simply means the name of a particular korban, Pesach Lashem. That's B'yom Arba'asa, B'rishon Arba'asa. Therefore, no matter how we look at it, it's clear. Rabbi Akiva says, look, too much talking. It's really very simple. Harehu Omer. How could you think, examining the pasuk, because this is yet a different interrelationship. This is the relationship to the dinim of the yantev of Malacha, which until now we haven't even seen. Hey, you know, really is weird. Why does the pasuk then say that B'yom HaRishon, Shabbaton, what does that have to do with anything? Aha, says Rabbi Akiva, because if you take a look, Ach B'yom HaRishon, Tashbitus Ha'armi Batechen, now Tosfos uses this as a cudgel against Rashi's pshat, that Tashbitu is essentially an act of consciousness. But Rashi never said that Tashbitu is limited to an act of consciousness. Rashi said that if it were only allowing you to actively take care of the chometz, then it would have said Tevaru. Since it's using Tashbitu, it's broadening the ways that you can deal with chometz. He never meant to say it doesn't include burning your chometz, for heaven's sakes. So when Rabbi Akiva is pointing this out, he's not going against Rashi's pshat, like Tosfos claims, and that forces Tosfos into a completely different approach, as we've mentioned twice before, a completely different approach when it comes to where do we get the idea of bitul chometz from the dinim of hefker. No, it's not the raya. In any event, says Rabbi Akiva, look, that means you're supposed to be burning your chometz, but it's certainly included. The Torah is saying, yeah, be a good boy, burn up your chometz. Burn up my chometz when? Tonight, you know, now, on Pesach. I'm not allowed to make a fire to burn chometz on Pesach. What are you talking about? Didn't you tell me, kol malacha lo tas, lo yes, amen? So how could you tell me on one side of your mouth not to do malacha, and on the other side of the mouth say, burn your chometz? Burning is a problem, because matzinu lahavarashi av malacha. I mean, that is one of the av malachas in the Torah. How could the Torah be contradicting itself? Rabbi Yossi says, I got a completely different approach, because Harehu Omer, take a look at this. There's no way. See, the way that Abaye took it in the beginning is he was stuck with, how do you know that it doesn't mean the morning? How do you know it doesn't mean the whole day? How do you know it doesn't mean the night before, right? So anyway, so he comes out with the Ach B'yom HaRishon. That was sort of his compromise, correct? But Rabbi Yossi points out, listen, that's not an ex post facto addition to the limud. Why don't you think about what Ach implies, okay? What Ach implies is but. That means that some of the day is good and some of the day is bad. Meaning I'm allowed to have chometz for half of the day. So how could it be referring to the first day of Pesach? What, are you crazy? You can't tell me, Shivas Yomim, get rid of your chometz, and then say, but the first day you can have chometz half of the day. No. So of course it can't mean the first day. Brilliant. Therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, listen, you don't need all of this Dreykop. Which is obviously Erev Yontev. Why? Why obviously? Maybe it means Yontev. No. Talmud Lomar Ach Chilek. It's telling you you're allowed to have chometz half of the day. The pasuk just said you can't have chometz at all during the day. So obviously it's not the same day, right? Ha, there you go. Eat me umtavats from Mishori. You're not allowed to have it. Didn't we understand that hashpas ha-sa'or is equivalent to achilas chometz, and achilas chometz is equivalent to achilas matz, and achilas matz is balayla? There was no way to read that pasuk. It's referring only to halfway in the day. Oh, my Rava. So Rava says like this. Sorry, one second, I just... Don't know why I'm having a little bit of trouble over here. Yeah. Okay, so Amar Rava, look. Rabbi Akiva's riot, which was beautiful, how can you say you're supposed to burn the chametz if you're not allowed to burn the chametz, is actually predicated on three assumptions which teach us a great deal. Because what you see is like this, Shema Amina min Rabbi Akiva, Talas. Three assumptions. A, Shema Amina ein bir chametz ala sreifa. Let's say that bir chametz meant feed the chametz to your doggy. Are you not allowed to feed your doggy on Yontav? So why does he say, how could the Torah tell me to burn my chametz? Where did it tell me to burn my chametz? All it said was tashbita, which means feed it to the doggy. So obviously he holds like the shita that says, sorry, later on, where Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, ein bir chametz ela sreifa. And we learn that out from the way that that word is used throughout the Torah. You got to burn it. Okay, that's A. B, Shema mina havara l'chalek yatzat. Remember that there's this big machlokas. Why does the Torah say, lo sevaru eish b'chomo shvotechem b'yom ha-shabbat? It says you can't do any melacha. So why are we talking about don't burn things? We have this big machlokas, right? Is the point of saying don't burn things just to tell me, see, just for burning alone, you would be chayiv. Don't think that you need to do all the melachas together to be chayiv. Only one of them is enough to be mechayiv you, right? Now, that means that what you hold is lechalek. Now, there's a problem because that's like Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Yossi holds, no, it's coming to tell me that you are not supposed to view Havara as a malacha. It is not a chiyav of Koris. It's only a new love of Lo Sevaru Eish. So it's clear that it's obviously Rabbi Akiva has got to agree with Rabbi Nosson, because according to Rabbi Yossi, it is not considered to be a malacha. And Rabbi Akiva said, isn't Havara an Av Malacha? Now that's according to Rashi's approach. Namely, that we're looking at the wording of Rabbi Akiva. Havara is an Av Malacha. Tosi says it has nothing to do with the wording. It's much deeper than the wording. It has to do with conceptually. Because if Lamaisa, the din was that it's not Lechalik, so then the Rivaz approach is, if you hold it only came out Lalav, then it wouldn't have been usher during Yontif. The malachas we know are usher on Yontif from Shabbos. But this new love of Lo Sevaru Eish B'chol Moshvotechem B'yom HaShabbat would only be on Shabbat. So the new Isser of Havara wouldn't even apply to Yontif. So if Rabbi Akiva is talking about how can you burn on Yontif, he obviously holds that Havara is one of the Lamites malachas, which means he has to agree with Rabbi Nosson, and it's the Chalik. The third thing that we could see from Rabbi Akiva's argument is that Shema Amina lo amrin and hoyav hutra avara letzarech hutra nami shelo letzarech. As you all know, people walk around smoking cigarettes on Yontav. So if you're smoking cigarettes on Yontav, why can't you burn chametz on Yontav? The Rabbi Akiva is so shocked. How can you burn? How can the Torah be telling me to burn chametz? So that's because there's a din of hoyav. Once the Torah was matir doing some things which are letzarech oichol nefesh, and that is the pasuk of Hulavadoya Selachem. So once it's already matir that, it's matir things that are not mamish l'tzorech ochol nefesh. He obviously does not hold that, because otherwise he wouldn't be able to say, how could the Torah be telling us to burn chometz? Tana Rabbana. So now let us talk about the strange interrelationship between the two psukim of Lo Yera'eh and Lo Yimatzeh. We already pointed out that there's so many strange differences. The difference between Re'ia versus Metzia, the difference between the Bayit versus the Gvul, the difference between it's being yours, Lecha, and not necessarily being yours. How do we understand those two elements? In order to get to the bottom of that, we need to go through some of the Limudim here in the Braita, which we get from each of these Psukim, and the Braita very cleverly drives us nuts, because it keeps contradicting itself and saying things backwards. And obviously only after we resolve all of these things are we going to figure out what's really going on. So turn her up on it. Look, it says in the Torah, Shivat Yamim Sa'or Lo Yimatzeh Bevatechem. Now, doesn't say anything over here about a gvul. It doesn't say anything here about its needing to be yours. And it doesn't say anything here about your needing to be able to see it, right? Now, what is added by this pasuk? So, Matamud Lomar. I mean, didn't it say before, Lo yera elecha se'or b'chol gvulecha? I mean, doesn't the gvul subsume the home? The gvul is like where the home is placed, no? So we already know that you can't have this. Ah, think about it, man. Lefi shenema lo yera elecha se'or. First of all, there's a very important point about the se'or that wasn't mentioned in the posik about the kol gvulecha. So the lo yera elecha se'or means you can't see that which belongs to you. Aval ata ro'eh shel acherim v'shel gavoa, it can't be shelcha. But let's say it belongs to a goy, or let's say it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. That would be okay. But on the other hand, if it says to me lo yera'eh, then it's stressing seeing. That's what you said. Avlata ro'eh, you can see. Okay. How about if it's my own, but I can't see it? What do you mean? I hide it. I'll cover it over with dirt. I'll keep all my chametz in a big storage locker, and I won't see it. So that should be fine, right? Because it says lo yera'eh. So yochol yatmin. So you might think, okay, so then I could hide it, right? And I could accept pigdonot min anochri. If a guy says, could you please put this into your big garage that you always lock up for Pesach? Sure. So I should be able to take the guy's stuff and take responsibility on it and so on. I could do that. No, therefore it says Talmud Lomar, lo yimatse. No. You can't, and forget about seeing, not seeing. It can't be found anywhere. Okay, fine. So then maybe this is only, now this is a very confusing piece that's just here to drive us crazy, and we don't have to worry about it yet, okay? So I might think that this idea of not being allowed to have chametz that the goy deposited in my garage is only if that's a goy that is not under my laws. And he doesn't live in my chatzar. But how do I know that it's even true if a guy is living under my domination, living in my chatzar, which of course is insane. It's just the opposite. The more he's living under you, the more it should be usher. So the Gemara is going to ask that later, obviously. Therefore, Talmud Lomar, lo yimatse bevatechem, it cannot be anywhere in your home. Okay. Whatever that adds, you just said that before. We'll get to this later, as I said. Don't worry about it now. So now, what about the kol gvulecha? Ah, because I would have thought if it didn't say that, and it just said, lo yimatse bevatechem, so then I would say, dafke bevatechem. But how would I know, what if I keep something out in the field? I put it inside a bor, a shiach, a mor, I've got this big cave in which I keep my chametz. Is that a problem? It is, because that's why we need the other pasuk. Talmud lomar b'chol gvulecha. So now we have gvulim, and we have batim, we have re'ia, and we have mitzia, we have lecha, and we have lo lecha. But, I mean, couldn't I still say that if you're talking about your home, so then you'd be over mishum bal yera'eh u bal yimatse, because then it says in both of those cases is within your gvulecha. Furthermore, I know that it's yimatse, and therefore I can't hide it. Bal yatmin, let's call that a new issue, not hiding your chametz. I know that I can't take pikdonot ben anochri because, I don't know why because, but because you brought the pasuk again for some reason, which I'm assuming you're going to make sense ultimately. But okay, but whatever it is, but that is linked to your home. But how about when it comes to the places that are not in your home in the gvulin, but are only in the gvulin? So there it doesn't say the re'ia. So then if it's elsewhere, then shalcha yata roeh, but you are able to be roeh shalachem v'shal gavoa, like it says. I mean, so how do I know that what it says in one pasuk applies to the other pasuk, and what it says in the other pasuk applies to this pasuk? Because, I mean, the lo yimatse and the lo yera'eh seem to be very different. So therefore, you're going to have to show me that I'm going to apply whatever is a kula in one case to the other case, whatever is a chumra in one case to the other case. Because look, it does say both things, but I could still taina. If it's in the bayit, fine. Then yes, because lo yimatse is mashma even if I don't see it. So that's true. But Where does it say the lacha? It doesn't say over there that it doesn't apply to others, that shel hegdesh and shel nochri. And in the gevulin, there it does say lacha, but it doesn't say anything about this re'iyah. So I could say, okay, fine. How do I know that whatever is a kula in one case, that it's not mine, it belongs to hegdesh, that's a kula, I'm allowed to do that. And how to apply the chumrah? It's a pikadon of an achri. It's even if I'm not roeh. How do I know that they apply across the board? They're very different things, aren't they? Says the Gemara, they are indeed. However, the point is that the Torah, in the end, puts them together. Talmud lomar se'or se'or l'gzera shova. The point over here is that we've been ignoring the fact that this pasuk of se'or is not a pasuk that occurs only in Shmos. When the Torah comes to discuss the dinim of Pesach in Re'eh, it repeats the same pasuk, in which case it's telling me the halachas twice, once back in Shmos and once far ahead in Devarim. If you put the two together, then it's been stressing the word se'or to make it an extra. The idea of se'or is litain et amur shel zeh bezeh, it's a gzeirah shavah. So one se'or is said in terms of batim, se'or lo yimatzei bevatechem, and the other one is said in terms of gvulin, lo yera elecha se'or bechol gvulecha. So just like the se'or ha'amur bevatim, it says clearly, ba'al yira'eh, ba'al yimatzei, ba'al yatmin, ba'al yikabel pikdonot min hanochrim. The same thing is true of the se'or, that is nemar begvulim, you will be over, mishum ba'al yira'eh, ba'al yimatzei, ba'al yatmin, ba'al yikabel pikdonot min hanochrim. And the kula is also true. Just like the se'or, where it does mention shelcha, which is the gvulin, it means, I ata ro'eh shelcha, aval ata ro'eh shel acherim mishel gavoha, af se'or ha'amur bevatim, shelcha I ata ro'eh, aval ata ro'eh shel acherim v'shel gavoha. So that means that we actually now understand that the halachas are exactly the same. Maybe. It's not really 100% clear. Because what would be the din of chametz that is not available to re'iyah? So, I mean, are you going to be over if you can't see it on Bal Yera'eh? Or does Bal Yera'eh still mean a particular element of a new Isser of Re'iyah? In other words, maybe you won't be over on both Bal Yera'eh and Bal Yematzeh if you can't see it. You would only be, it's true that I understand that the denim that applied to Bal Yera'eh applied to Bal Yematzeh. But are there in fact two separate Isserim that are involved, or are they really limited to different situations? So this is a big issue in how to understand the Rambam. The Kesef Mishnah understands that the Rambam is mechalik between Tomun and between Re'iyah. Not in terms of the halachas, but in terms of which law would apply. But we'll keep that in mind as we continue on through the sugya in the coming days. I'm sorry that it took a little bit more time than usual, but I really felt this is a daf that is so primal in getting clear all of the variations, and we still haven't finished, unfortunately. I thought we would be able to finish the interrelationship between the Bayera, Bayamatze, and the Pikdonos of the Nochrim. Okay, but that has to do more with Inyanim of ownership, and those are classical dinim of ownership, not limited specifically to Pesach. So we'll have to see what the differences are between classic ownership in terms of a kibbutz kabbos pikdonot and between the special halachas that are added here in the Lo Yimatzeh.